Amen. I hope he has been all that to you. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, we're on the beginning of a new month. And not just a new month, but a new year. Amen. And so we are starting a new theme. Amen. And of course, everybody's using that fact that it's 2020 as part of the theme. So I thought, why not us? Amen. So we want to be able to see clearly. And there's quite a few things we need to be able to see. First of all, I'd like to welcome all our visitors. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we'd like to let you know you're welcome. Amen. And we're happy that you're at Rehoboth. Amen. Well, this year, I think, is going to be one of those years where we have some victories, but we're also going to have some fights. Amen. And so we need to be able to see clearly what is happening first in our own lives and then in the lives of others so that we can help. And then seeing Jesus and understanding our relationship with him is very important. You know, many times, and I'm sure most of us have had this situation where we want to question God. Lord, why? Why has this happened? You know, and you could look back through 2019 and there's all those situations. Some of it, we know what the answer is. It was us. We made bad choices. You know, we just made mistakes. But sometimes it seems that stuff happens and we just don't understand it. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So we're going to be looking about this month in being able to see. And I think the most important thing to be able to see clearly, first of all, is ourselves. Because you can't get something fixed if you don't know it's broken. Right? You have to really understand yourself and understand our needs for God. And until we come to the place where we can admit our need for God, then we can almost be sure we're not going to get anywhere. So part one of this theme will be seeing ourselves clearly. Amen. Seeing ourselves clearly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 says, is speaking about one of the seven churches, the Laodicean church. And it's one of the churches in which God could not say anything very positive. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." See, sometimes we don't really understand where we really are. We think we're doing better than we are. In other words, we've deceived ourselves. And therefore, we're not going to make any progress. This church thought they were doing okay. You know, many people think, I'm doing okay, I'm a good person, I come to church, I do this. But are we really cold or hot? Are we lukewarm and not really hot? Verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Verse 17 is the important verse, is because they were deceived. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." I'm all right. I got it together. I do everything. I've got it all working out. That was the attitude of that church. We've got this together. So I have need of nothing. Woo. "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind." Blind. This church could not see themselves. They thought they were okay. I never want to get to the stage where I think I'm okay. I never want to get to that stage where I'm satisfied with me. And God has been very gracious in that he's made that clear that he's not satisfied with me. I still have a lot of things to fix. I have still a lot of way to go. Amen. And so part of this lesson about 2020 vision, the first thing we have to see is ourselves and our needs so that we can bring them to God. The Bible says that the sacrifices are a broken and a contrite heart. If we don't feel that we need to repent, then we won't. If we don't feel that we need to come to God and ask Him to help our weaknesses, we won't. So the first step is understanding that we need God to open our eyes to our true needs. Our true needs. That's why the Bible specifically says about praying in tongues. Because it says the Spirit maketh intercession, right? The Spirit maketh intercession and groanings. Groanings that cannot be uttered. And we don't understand what we're saying. But the Spirit is actually making intercession for what we really need, not what we think we need. And that's why we're encouraged to pray in the Spirit. So the first thing to acknowledge going into 2020 is that, Lord, I need your help. Please open my eyes. See my, show me my weaknesses. Maybe I know a few of them. But maybe there's other areas of my life that I'm not aware of, that I'm not pleasing you. I'm not close enough to you. I'm not speaking to you enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not reading the word enough. John 9:39. Jesus said, for judgment am I am come into this world, that they which see might see not, might see, and that they which see might be made blind. That's a really strange scripture. What he was saying really is those who think they've got it all worked out, who are not humble, who are not reaching out and acknowledging their need, he's not going to help them. If you don't cry out to him, he's not going to help you. In fact, there's so many times Jesus was about to pass by people. Right? The disciples were in a storm in the boat on the sea. And they see Jesus. He's not stopping. You know what? He wanted them to cry out. Acknowledge their need. Well, I tell you what, I'm crying out. I need him. I need him. I really need him in 2020. I cannot do it by myself. No way. Amen. And so he said, those who think that they can see, he's going to leave them over there. You know, the people with their nose stuck up who think they got it all together. He said that I've come that those who think that they can see and feel they don't need any help, okay, fine. He said, that's why I've come to, it's the sick that need a physician, right? The Pharisees were criticizing him. How come you're always around the drunkards and the prostitutes and the harlots? And he says, well, it's the sick. They knew who they were. They knew where they came from. They were not, you know, carrying on with their gowns and praying in the streets and going on like they were some holy, holy gift of God. And some of the Pharisees, verse 40, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if he were blind, he would have no sin. That's interesting. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Until we come to the place where we can humble ourselves, say, Lord, I need your help. I really don't know what lies ahead in 2020. There's going to be some decisions, some choices that we all have to make. Lord, please help me. Because when I make the choice, it's always wrong. It always goes the wrong way. Jesus said, because you think you can see, then you're blind. And because of that, your sin remains. What he's saying, when we are truly blind and we don't even know some of our faults and failings. You know, the classic one is when you have said something and it's hurt someone. And you didn't mean to, but you don't even know it. They took it some way that you didn't mean to, and they're all hurt and you didn't even know it. See? Many times we do things that hurt God and we don't even know it. Just by not trusting him. I'm sure I hurt God this morning. Because as I was driving in, I was thinking of all the things that could, you know, I've got to deal with that could go wrong. I was really taking it upon myself. Instead of saying, God, listen, I can't do this anyway. Right? And so this is what he's we've got to open our eyes. In fact, we got to let Jesus open our eyes because he's the only one that can do that. What we got to do is cry out unto him. There was a blind man. Jesus came to his city. You know the story well. And he heard Jesus was passing by. He couldn't see him, but he started to shout. I tell you, in this service, we need to shout. That's what we need to do. Start shouting out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." He realized that he was blind. The people who could see, who had other issues, they didn't want to call out. In fact, they started to shush him up. "Hey, you're making too much noise. Be quiet." You know what he did was, "Listen, I'm not letting this pass." The Bible said he cried out the more. That's what we got to do today. You have some needs. You have some issues. If you want to go into 2020 seeing clearly, you need to cry out some more that God will open our eyes, show us a clear path. You may have some choices. You have some choices to make. You need to cry out. In verse 41, Jesus made it plain. He said, if he were blind, he should have no sin. But now we say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. On Thursday, I went to a pastor's only meeting over at Mount Zion, where they had a bishop from, I think it's Baltimore. And he was awesome. I'm going to try and get him to come for our anniversary. And you know, when I say he's awesome, I don't just throw that out to everybody I hear. But I was sitting down and I was drinking it in. Amen. But one thing he pointed out, and I thought it was really interesting, he went back into the Old Testament and about the tabernacle. And you remember, as you came, if you remember the tabernacle, there's seven pieces of furniture. And as you come in the first courtyard, anyone remember what you come to? There's two things there. Anyone remember what they are? The bronze laver and the altar. Two things, right? The laver where you wash and the altar where you sacrifice. Well, he pointed out something about that that was very interesting. You see, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they didn't have those things. They had to make them in the wilderness. And yes, they were made of bronze, brass, which represents judgment, but they were made from a certain select kind of bronze, which is what he pointed out, which was interesting. And this is what I want to point out to you today. Exodus 30, verse 18. Thou shalt all, when God told him to make the instructions for the laver and for the altar, they were to be made out of a certain kind of brass. Thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash. It represents baptism. It represents repentance. It represents confession. That thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. And he made the laver of brass and of the foot of it of brass. Now, here's the interesting thing. It says, of the looking glasses of the women assembling. What does that mean? It means in those days they didn't have mirrors. What they would do is they would take brass and polish it to a very fine sheen. And that's what they would use to do what? To do what? When you hold up a mirror, what are you doing? Looking at yourself. So what it's saying is that the laver was made of this very polished brass. So as you approached it, what did you see? Yourself. If you were going to come before God to be clean, to repent, you know what the laver would show you as you approached? A picture of yourself. Do you understand what God was trying to... the Bible specifically says it was made of looking glass brass. It was of the brass that they used to highly polish. So when you came before it, it was showing you a reflection of yourself. And that's what it really means, true repentance, is when you come to yourself. If you're going to go into 2020 and see clearly, as I said, this first part is about you got to first examine yourself. And so that's so interesting that the tabernacle, the laver, and the bronze altar, if you approached it, what you were going to see is a reflection of you. Because that's what repentance is about. It's taking you and saying, I'm sorry for my sins. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. We're going to have some baptisms today. And that is so important and so wonderful. But what baptism really means and why it is not just a symbol, it takes care of every sin you've ever done. From birth. When you get out of that pool, Brother Joseph, as far as God's concerned, you are perfect. It takes care of your past. But now, you need the Holy Spirit to take care of your future. You understand? So the laver that represented cleaning and washing was made of this highly polished brass that as you approached it to wash, you saw yourself. You had to see yourself. You couldn't approach it without seeing yourself. And until we understand that that's what baptism and repentance is about, it's really seeing our need for God. In Acts chapter 1, after Peter preached, they said, "What shall we do?" The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts, their conscience. They realized who it was that they had crucified. And they came to the end of themselves. When we come to God truly, we have to come to the end of ourselves. We can't still have self. We've got to be able to see our miserableness and all the things that we are confessing before God. And that's so interesting that the Bible doesn't just say they made it of brass, but it was of the kind of brass that when they polished it, you would see. You could not come to the altar, or you could not come to the laver without first seeing a reflection of yourself. And so in this month that we're talking about seeing clearly, as I said, this first part is about seeing ourselves and our need and admitting it. If we're approaching God for consecration this month, for saying, "Lord, we need some victories in 2020. We need a different outcome. I don't want to be in the same place I am at the end of this year than I am now. I want to have made some progress. I want to have some victory. I want to have some deliverance. I want when I pray things to happen." Well, how's that going to happen? Not unless we come closer to God. See, the Bible tells us that His Word today is the mirror. It's the Word that convicts. It's the Word that cleanses. It's the Word that washes. When we were doing the foot washing, that's what I explained. In James 1:19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God." Whenever you've done stuff in anger, it never worked out too good, did it? Usually it just makes situation worse. May make us feel good for the moment, but once you cool down and you look at it, it just made the stuff worse. The wrath of God, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Today, the Bible tells us it's the laver is really God's word because we are now washed with the word. When you come to church, that word is washing you. Amen. But as you approach the word, it's also the mirror that shows us our faults and our failures. You know, and when the preacher preaches or if comes to correct, we should say, "Okay, thank you for telling me that I've got some green, you know, lettuce between my teeth." You shouldn't be mad at someone for telling you still got some toilet paper stuck on your shoe. They're doing you a favor. Don't get mad at them. You know, I'm grateful if my wife tells me, "Hey, you got some powder all over there," or if something. We should be grateful, but some of us don't like correction. In other words, we don't even like looking in a mirror. "But be ye doers of the word," verse 22, "and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves." Oh yeah, I come to church, I hear the word, but I never do it. But I pretend that I'm all right because I come to church. But it's not the coming to church, it's the lifestyle you live. "For if any man," verse 23, "be a hearer of the word and not a doer," here's where it tells us what he's like. "He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself," because the word will show you yourself, "and his way," and then goes out and forgets what he looks like. Now that sounds strange that you could forget what you look like, but that's equivalent to what people do when they come. They hear the word, they hear what they're supposed to do, And as soon as they leave that, okay, I've done my bit. I came to church. What was that message? What did he preach about yesterday? I wouldn't ask you the test of what Chris preached about last week, right? Anyone tell me what he preached about last Sunday? Let's see who meditated upon it. All right. You know what that means? That was a light meal. You didn't really chew it. If you were chewing it all week, you would know about the government on his shoulders, right? Isn't that what he preached the last time a Sunday he preached? Okay. And the Sunday before that, anyone remember? Of course, it's easy since I preached it, but anyway. So, that tells us whether we're really remembering the word, right? Are we holding up the mirror and remembering what the word said to us? For he beholdeth himself, and while we're in church, yes, amen, thank you, Jesus. If you don't take that word with you, you're not really remembering the mirror, so to speak. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Paul then brings it back to the word. He says, but whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. We burnt up all of those things. Remember when you put all the things you were going to leave in 2019? I had really wanted to film it being burnt, but I hadn't told my wife to film it. But we do have a picture. I'm going to show that in second service. I came home from work and there was a pile of ashes. There was smoke in the garage. What was that? And she had burned it. I'd wanted to film it. But anyway, it was burnt. Don't go and dig it back up. Don't go and bring those things into 2020. Amen. See, we have to use the word to see ourselves. That's what that image is saying. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is supposed to be in you? Unless, of course, it says you failed the test. That's in the NIV translation. That's what we taught on the watch night about the scripture that says, let every man examine himself to see if he be worthy. That means, do you have faith? Do you believe? And the scripture is telling us that we have to examine ourselves, whether you be in this thing. Am I in this thing or not? Or am I just going through the motions? Do I just come to church because that's my church? Or am I really listening and building faith? That's what 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Whether you are in faith. That's what we have to do. That's what we're commanded to do. And that's what we have to see, where we are. We have to take stock of ourselves going into 2020. What do I need to do, Lord? What things do I need to drop off? What things do I need to do more of, Lord? How can I get closer to you? That's my plea. Lord, I can't do this by myself. You know, otherwise I'd go like Elijah. Lord, go on, sit under the juniper tree. Lord, okay, I give up. Just come now, Lord, and take me. Amen. If I wanted to think about all the things as pastor, you know, I would want to just be like Elijah. Lord, just take me out now. Amen. But I have to cast my cares upon him. I have to cast my cares upon him. Isn't that what the scripture says? You see, until we see our situation that we're maybe like the prodigal son, we don't think we're like the prodigal son, but maybe in some areas of our life, we're actually in a pigsty. Luke chapter 15, verse 17, 24. But when he came to his senses, you know, here he was. Someone preached a message, a prince in a pigsty. Because he came from this super rich family. He was the second son of a man who had servants and houses and land. Do you understand that you are a prince or a princess? But some areas of our lives, we may actually be sitting in a pigsty. That's all about seeing ourselves clearly. But when he came to his senses, he started to see himself. He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? He started to think about where he was. You know, if you think about God's blessing and what God could do for you, if you would only get out of the pigsty. When I think about how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger, I will get up and I'll go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned. He saw himself. He saw where his condition was, that, you know, I was wrong to demand all my inheritance and run off. Until we get to that place where we can have a heart of repentance going into 2020, then we're not seeing ourselves. And I tell you what, before you see Jesus, you have to have a need and see that you need him. So he got up and came to his father. But here's the beautiful part of the story, and I've said this so many times. The father saw him a long way off. God is just waiting for us to wake up and to see ourselves and our need for him. The father saw him a long way off and fell and compassed for him, had compassion for him, and embraced and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned. He saw his need. He saw where he was. And until we get to the stage where we can ask God and acknowledge our faults. The great thing about David was not that he was perfect, not that he was sinless, not that he was all this, but he had a repentant heart. When confronted, he humbled himself and he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. This parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son, it was seeing himself. Before anything could happen, he had to make up in his mind that he had enough of that pigsty and that he was going to go back. Father hadn't left him, he left Father. God has not left you. You've left God in certain areas. So it's up to us to see ourselves if we want to get back. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe, the best robe. Whenever we come back to God, the Bible said he will cast our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. See, humans forgive, but they don't forget. We say we forgive, but we don't forget. But God says he forgets. That's what justified is, just as if I hadn't done it. Isn't God good? But the father said to him, quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. That's why the Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven by one soul that comes back. One soul that's been snatched back from Satan. But again, it all starts with our seeing our need for God. I think a lot of people don't get true repentance because they never see themselves as needing it. They see themselves as, I'm a good person. I kiss babies. I'm a good person. There's none good except God. We have to understand and humble ourselves and see that we have a need. But whenever we will humble ourselves and see that we have a need, you know, the Father is there. He's there to hug us. Jesus said, I would that none, not one be lost. Amen. And on this first Sunday of 2020, I want us to start seeing ourselves. Just like that blind man, he knew Jesus was passing. See, we can't really open our own eyes, but we can know that there's a need. He knew he was blind. And he knew Jesus was passing. And that's what I'm trying to tell you today. We need to cry out the more. I need to cry out the more. I'm going to cry out the more. I don't know about you, but when it comes to God helping people, I'm extremely selfish. I can't get enough. I don't know about you. You know, it's like when they throw feed out in the yard. The strongest animal just, they all dive. Everybody dies for the food. Well, I'm going to be very selfish. I want God's blessings this year. I'm going to cry out. I have needs. And it's only because I'm pastor I have to remember not to be selfish and pray for other people, because I could stay there praying for myself all day. Because I know, I think, a lot of things I need. Now, there's probably some areas of my life that I still can't see, but listen, I'm going to call out, just like that blind man. And people can say, you're making too much noise. But he cried out the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, just to show you how God works, Jesus said, what do you want me to do? Now, it was obvious to everyone that he was blind. But you understand the principle. God wants you to humble yourself and say, speak it out. Say it out into the atmosphere. What is your need? He said that I might have my sight. You know, everybody would be saying, hey, doesn't he know he's blind? Can't he see him? Jesus must be blind. No, he knows your need. You may feel Jesus is blind, but he knows your need. But until we see and we are ready to speak it out and acknowledge it and humble ourselves, we got to see our situation. Just like this prince who was in a pigsty. But once he saw himself and was ready to come back and say, you know, Father, I messed up. I took all that money and I wined and dined and parted it all away. I made a mess. But he humbled himself. And because of that, the Father called for the ring. You know what that ring meant? Sonship. You're still my son. I still love you. Look in the Bible. Every time people needed stuff, they had to say it. Jesus knew what they needed, but he just said, what shall I do for you? Even the woman who Jesus didn't directly heal, who had the issue of blood, she said it. The Bible says, for she said in her heart, if I touch. She had faith to say it in her heart. If I touch the hem of his garment. Jesus knew every single person who came to him. He knew what they needed before, but he still asked them, what do you want? We have to start seeing our situation before we can go helping other people. The Bible says, listen, before you complain about the beam in the eye, the little spot in the eye of someone else, you need to see you've got something big sticking out. Before you go around judging other people, take the whole thing out of your eye. It may help you see more clearly. 2020, it's all about seeing first of all ourselves. Then next week we'll go into seeing other people and seeing about what Jesus does in our lives. But this week we need to be like the blind man. And if we claim we see, he said, you're blind. Isn't that what I read at the beginning? I'm fine. I don't need to go to church. I'm fine. Jesus said, it's because you think you see, your sin remains. So in opening our eyes, it starts off with repentance. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us search and try our ways. Think about our motivations. And turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. You know what that's saying? It's saying, give God your heart. Let me read it again. Let us lift up our heart with our hands. In other words, when you worship, you are acknowledging your need. You're lifting up your heart and you're saying, God, this is my heart. It's broken. A broken and a contrite heart, God said he would in no way despise. When we humble ourselves, so when we lift up our hands and we worship, that's what we're doing. Let us lift up our heart with our hands and offer it to God. One of the things that always kind of chokes me up is when you read in the Old Testament about the requirements for a priest that could serve in the tabernacle or the temple. They had to be a physically prime human being. They had to be perfect, just like the sacrifice. No broken nose, no lameness, no marks, no blemishes, or else you couldn't serve. Even if you were born of the tribe of Levi, you couldn't serve. You had to be physically perfect. The priests were the fit six-pack of abs men of that day. They had to look perfect, or else you couldn't serve. You couldn't have a defect and serve. But when the New Testament came, Jesus illustrated it, the change, that there was a new testament, a new covenant. Because in the Lord's Supper that we took, he said, "This is my body that is what? Broken." No broken person could come and serve before. No person who was in need. But the new covenant, this new year, I want us to emphasize seeing ourselves in repentance. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. That's what will happen. When you ignore your sin and go on like nothing's wrong. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever, heat of summer. But now I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave. Let's say that word, forgave. That word is so important. You forgave the guilt of my sin. When we see ourselves, then we will see that we need God. And when we humble ourselves, God will take care of it. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, it says that I'm going to glory now in my weaknesses and in my infirmities so that the power of God may rest upon me. Because if you have no need, then you have no need of God. But when you have needs, you need God. I need God. Amen. As I said, on the night of the storm, the Bible said they saw him. He saw them in the boat. The storm is happening. They're about to sink. And he says he would have passed them by. Does it feel that way to you sometimes? You're in a storm and Jesus looks like he's just about to pass you by. You know what you got to do? Anyone know what you got to do? You got to cry out the more. You got to make a whole lot of noise. You got to humble yourself. I'm not ashamed. I'll cry out. I'm going to cry out. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. See, what God wants us to start off is seeing our need. He can open the eyes. He will show us. But first, we got to cry out. And this month, we are dedicating to consecration. What does that mean? It means we're trying to grow and to draw closer to God. You know, the closer you are to someone, the more you can expect from them. It's relationship. If you've got a really close friend, you can say stuff to them. And they still are going to be your friend. But if it's a stranger, you don't know how they're going to react. We're trying to get close to God that we can say stuff, that he's my friend. Abraham got so close to God that God said, you know what? I'm not even going to bring judgment unless I talk with my friend Abraham. I'm going to let Abraham know my plans because he's my friend. Wouldn't that be great if God let you in on his plans? Would you like to know what God's plans for you in 2020 is? Okay, well, we're going to take the next 3 weeks to draw close to him. That he will reveal to us what he has planned for us this year. The direction we're to walk. How we're to make some choices. I really don't want to make choices by myself. Because I always mess up. So we're going to start this month in doing some fasting and prayer. Some consecration. Because we want to see clearly. Psalms 119 verse 104. Through thy precepts, that means through his word, I get understanding. And therefore I hate every false way. And of course, here's the verse I wanted to bring out. Thy word, let's say it together, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Amen. And a light unto my path. See, we like that verse, but we need to also put it with the next verse. I have sworn and I will perform it. We made some pledges. We made some commitments. I'm going to leave all the troubles of 2019 and some of my bad attitudes, my bad choices, my bad companions, my false friends, my negative circle. The writer of Psalms 119, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. That's why we come to church, because the word that we hear is a lamp. It's not my words I'm speaking, it's his words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You know, to see, you do need light. Even once your eyes are open, if there's no light, it's just as if your eyes are not open. So what is the light? The word is the mirror, and it is also the light. And I like this example because it says it's a lamp. You know, if it was much brighter than that, it could blind you. And a lamp doesn't let you see the whole road. It only lets you see a few feet in front of you. So you have to trust. It doesn't. As you take this step, you see a little bit more. As you take this step, a little bit more happens. And so that's what the Bible says. Walk before me, and I'm going to declare you perfect. Amen. We're walking into 2020. We don't know what all the challenges are. But we need to cry out to Jesus that he will first open our eyes, that he will be the mirror before us. I have sworn and I will perform it. I will keep thy judgments. So we're going to do some things in the next 3 weeks as a church to try and consecrate ourselves. Well, not consecrate ourselves, but do the part that separates us. Let me put it that way, separation. We do not make ourselves holy, but we can't separate ourselves from stuff that makes us profane or unholy, right? And most of us know what those are. We're not babies. We know the stuff that defiles us, unholy stuff. And in the Bible, one of the things they did for consecration was to fast. I hate fasting, as you can tell. But it's funny. I have no problem fasting on a Sunday. I don't know why that is. I don't even, if it wasn't Sunday, I'd probably by now be, you know, going around the kitchen. But because on a Sunday, my mind is attuned to the word, I have no problem. But we want to add some more days to that. Let's look at this. Why do we fast as part of seeing clearly? John's disciples came and asked Jesus the same thing. Then came to him the disciple of John saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? So that tells us what fasting is about. It's a mourning. It's a humbling of our heart. It's putting ourselves in a supernatural, unnatural position, because it's natural to eat. It's unnatural not to eat. And Jesus explained they don't fast now because the bridegroom is with them. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they, what? Fast. So when Jesus went, what he was saying, now you can mourn. And so fasting is to humble your flesh and to put you in the spirit of mourning. Mourning about what? About getting closer to God. You know, as I told you, I don't know if I said it, but about maybe now it's a week and a half ago, I felt such a spirit of mourning and longing that I hadn't felt before of, God, just come now. Don't wait anymore. Just come now. Fix everything. I really want to get out of here. And that is the spirit. We need to have a longing for Jesus. Amen. That's why he says that. Let's read on. And the reason to fast is because Jesus said so. Not because I said so. He said so. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So if you don't understand it, don't matter. Jesus said so. Jesus said so. Let us look on this 2020 vision. And there's a misspelling in this. It means Satan. I got the S in the wrong place. Satan has dominion of your body. That's why we're so weak, and that's why we don't have control all the time. We can plan to be good, and then something happens. And so when we weaken this body through fasting, we're actually taking away his dominion. Luke 4:1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those 40 days, what did he do to resist the devil? He did eat nothing. You know, if you fasted that long, I don't think you would want to go down to the club. You just wouldn't be feeling like getting out of bed and going to the club. That would not be the first thing on your mind. So fasting weakens the flesh. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And so the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, what was wrong with Jesus making the stone bread? It doesn't look like it's a sin. What was wrong with him doing that? He could have done it. The devil wasn't telling him to cuss anybody or to kill somebody. You're hungry. Make the stone bread. You can do it. Well, that's one reason. He never used his powers for himself. But secondly, he wasn't going to obey the devil. Because that's how the devil gets you. He will tell you something that seems innocent. Doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with doing that. But if you once start to obey him over this little thing, that's the thin edge of the wedge. The Bible says that whomsoever you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you become. So once you start doing the little things, that's not unholy. If I start drinking a little bit of wine, and then a little bit more of wine, then a little bit more of wine. Don't know whether I should say this, but there's a person who calls me up. And when they call me up, I can tell they're inebriated. I don't know if it's because they're guilty or what, and they will call me up and want to talk. And I confronted them. I said, you know, you sound drunk. And they got quiet. But this is what we have to do. If we do, it's getting drunk is the sin, not the wine per se. But the devil is so clever. And I'm not really pointing, because that's just one thing. There's many other things that we do that are like that. Oh, I just don't need to come to church on Sunday school. The message is the main thing. You know, that's how, there's nothing, it's not a sin. But really he's telling you, why don't you make the stone bread? Why don't you just stay in bed a little longer? If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be bread. What we have to do in fasting is put some of these things down that weakens the flesh. Fasting weakens the body, diminishes Satan's dominion, and fights his control. I'm going to hurry. And also it humbles us. When Jonah came to the city of Nineveh and he said, in 40 days' time, this whole city is going to be destroyed. They were a wicked people. Probably the most wicked people in the Bible were these particular people. They were the ISIS of their day. When they captured people, they skinned them alive. They had all kinds of tortures. But this is the most gracious, and I can't even put it into words if we understood what happened here. So the people of Nineveh believed God. This wicked, imagine going and preaching to ISIS and they all repented. We wouldn't even consider that possible. But this is what happened. And what did the king do? He proclaimed a fast. took off his robes, put on sackcloth and ashes, humbled. He said all the animals got to fast too. From the greatest of men, even to the least of them. This shows you what trying to seek God, no matter how far you are away, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, if you will truly cry out and true repentance, he proclaimed a fast. And what did God do? God suspended judgment. They weren't even Jews. This was not Israelites. These were not Hebrews. This was Israel's enemies. This was Israel's enemies. And yet God had mercy on them because they humbled themselves. What does fasting do? It elevates us to a spiritual dimension. Disciples came across this little boy who their prayer didn't do it. So they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind," say this kind. There's some kind of stuff you're going to deal with that just the "I lay me down to sleep" prayer is not going to work. You're going to need a little bit of more than "now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." You're going to need a little bit more than that. Going to need a little bit more than that. Because you may be dealing with this kind. I know I've got some things I'm dealing with that are this kind. And they've been hanging around too long. I want to leave them in 2019. I do not want to bring them into 2020. He says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. If you have some this kind of things that you want to get rid of or are dealing with, just give God 3 weeks of this year. Just give him 3 weeks of really focusing on trying to get close to him. That's what Daniel did. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. In other words, he was fasting 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all until the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And at the end of the 3 weeks, of course, the angel came and gave him the answer. Now, you understand he wasn't starving himself. What he said was that he didn't eat certain things. He fasted from certain things. And so what we would like to do is for us to fast from certain things. Maybe you can just fast, this is an easy one, from negativity. Can you go through a whole week without saying something negative about somebody? For some people, that would be very hard. Because they just have a negative personality. Could you go through a whole week without saying anything negative about certain people that's in your life? You'd have to go... Boy, that have to swallow that word. Here's what the Bible says. Moving from light to dark, from darkness to light. Remember now, opening the eyes is one part, but then you need light. In Isaiah 58, verse 5, it says, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head?" Now, fasting is not there to move God. That's not what it does. It's not about proving to God how you can... No, fasting is there to move you. Okay? It's not about, you know, afflicting yourself like some religions where they take belts and beat themselves. No, that's not what it's about. It's not to prove to God anything. It's to move you. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here's what the fasting is supposed to for. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that he break every yoke. Then, after the fast, then shall thy light, remember to see 2020, you need light, break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Well, science tells us that fasting does all kinds of good things. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. If you could stand with me. I've put up here a few different types of fast. There's a one-day fast. You could do 24 hours. Sun up to sundown. You can do a three-day fast, not partaking of food for 3 days and three nights. Now, the Daniel fast, what Daniel did, it was just vegetables and fruits and grains. And water was his beverage. And there's all kinds of things. But you have to decide what it is you're going to do to afflict your flesh. Take away some power from this flesh. There's a media fast, right? Get off of Facebook. Stay away from all that negativity. I've just put some examples, but I would like us, if you want to have some light, to deal with some of the kinds, to choose something. Now, if you have a medical condition, I'm not trying to tell you that you do anything that puts you at risk, but you can fast from people that you hang around with that you know are corrupting your soul. Amen? But this is our beginning of our 2020 vision, that we can see clearly. That we will first of all see ourselves, that this will bring us to a place of repentance and seeking God, so that all of the idols, the images, and I don't mean real, hopefully you don't have any images in your house, but there's things in our lives that we're worshiping, that we have put before God, and we need to break them down. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, as we approach your throne, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, in this month that remains, these weeks that remain of this month, that we will draw near to you. Oh God, that your blessing, your favor, your light, hallelujah, your miracles, your healing, your power can be revealed in our lives. Lord God, that you will just take us to the next level in 2020. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, for your miracle power, Lord God. Oh, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless our service, bless this church, bless, oh God, everyone who is here today. Help us to walk worthy according to your plan. We thank you right now, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the power in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.